persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. You know, as I walked into church this past Sunday morning, I received the news of the terrorist attack in Orlando, Florida. Our hearts and prayers are with the families of loved ones taken in that dreadful terrorist attack in Orlando. On Sunday nights, I usually present an Issachar report. It's a message from the Bible on some topic of concern to God-fearing patriots. Lately, I'm working through a series on the Bible and conspiracy theories, which is intriguing. However, because of this latest atrocious terrorist attack in Orlando, Florida, I decided to prepare and present a special message addressing the question, a Christian response to the murder of homosexuals. Now, that message will be posted on our website by Monday evening, and you will be able to go to www.baptistlighthouse.org, and then under the resources menu on the top, you'll see sermons in the drop-down, and then when you pass your mouse over sermons, you'll see another drop-down list, and you'll find there the Issachar Report. It should be the first message on the list of messages found on that page. Also, I have received more encouragement from some of my faithful brain massage listeners to revisit my take on Trump. And I want to thank you for that. I do appreciate those of my friends who allow us to, in some instances, agree to disagree agreeably. Now, that might be where we end up on this one, but I am listening and I will respond to all intelligent, well-thought-out efforts to dissuade me from my present course on this issue, which is, as you know, not to vote for Trump in the general, consistent with my somewhat recent resolve to no longer be manipulated into choosing between two evils. And folks, it bottoms out here. Frankly, I have got to have a better reason to vote for Trump than the threat, and not all of you are doing this, but some of you are, the threat that if I don't, I'll be falsely accused and then pilloried for giving the election to Hillary, without benefit of trial, where in presenting my case, I would prove otherwise. But okay, my friends, it is time for your brain massage, where I stimulate the brain with scintillating conversation on topics of interest to all God-fearing patriots, causing the neurons in the brain and heart like lightning to streak across the brain, leaping the synapse gaps at such velocity the voids become connected by a series of sparkling insights that form a temporary cloud through which the glory of God's truth radiates into the inner core of mind until the brain cells in the heart are activated. You know, they've discovered some thousands of brain cells in the heart. Anyway, touching off a cascade of insight explosions that bring down the stronghold of deceit Satan has labored so long to construct in the heart until that stronghold comes crashing down. The sparkling insight cloud then settles down on the debris of the deceit, bursting into a dissolving flame of righteous indignation until, at last, the soul rises up in victorious rapture and rests in the embrace of truth.
Truth. Served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
My, what news to receive as I walked into the beautiful auditorium of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. 49 killed and 53 wounded in a terrorist attack on a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida, by a guy with an Arab name who frequented the gay nightclub, by the way, we understand, with his wife. Everyone assumed, as I did, no doubt, another radical Islamist on a rampage for Allah, you know, and on Obama's watch, who doesn't seem to be watching. And everyone knew what would happen. The Americans will go out in droves to buy more guns, while the liberals will use the occasion to blame the availability of guns for the attack. How ironic. You ever notice that? I was talking with the Dove about this, and she said it happens every time. Some radical Islamo-fascist commits an act of terrorism, and the liberals blame the gun while Americans run out in hordes to buy them. Especially those ARs, baby. Sales through the roof. I understand there is a homosexual gun club. I didn't know this. I think it's called Pink Guns or something. Let's see. Here it is. No, it's the Pink Pistols. Now, here's the headline. Pink Pistols, LGBT gun rights group, sees membership spike after Orlando attack, end quote. Well, that makes perfect sense to me. Interesting. The liberal establishment is so totally out of touch with the American people. Gun violence consistently spurs gun sales, while the liberals in government use every act of gun violence as an excuse to go after our guns or attempt to restrict them. Every time the government starts talking about taking away our right to bear arms, have you noticed? Americans respond by going out and buying more of them. I'm telling you, folks, this does not portend good things to come. The government is becoming increasingly hostile toward the Second Amendment, and more Americans are arming themselves in ever-increasing numbers, and the rhetoric is heating up in opposition to any effort to take away our guns. What does that say to you? Our founders established the Second Amendment as protection against a tyrannical government. God help us. We are living in strange times indeed. Trump comes out sounding sane, but at the same time, scary. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that the principles underlying his comments are very sane, very sensible, reasonable. However, the sentiment of hostility he capitalizes on at present is directed at voting for him as the cure-all. But what will he actually do to address this problem? He really has some very troubling fascist tendencies. Look what he's doing with media right now. And we might have sympathy with his frustration with media, but do you muzzle them? Do you deny them access? I mean, this is going to be a troubling presidency if he does get elected, even if it's preferable to Hillary. I hear him telling us he will get immigration under control, and that's a good thing. If he has a Congress that will support him, that's exactly the right way to address much of this. And what a contrast to the liberals, by the way. The liberals want to step up their efforts to violate every American's right to bear arms without infringement from the government, you know? That's what the Second Amendment promises us. While at the same time bending over backwards to zealously defend a completely non- or unconstitutional supposed right to enter this country. I mean, it's as if they see efforts to control immigration as an infringement of some human right, while at the same time they zealously work to infringe, that means to weaken, to limit, or to undermine, by the way, Americans' constitutional right to bear arms. You know, so liberals want to have open border policy to Muslims, who are consistently the ones who are committing acts of terrorism here, while at the same time laboring to disarm Americans. What, leaving us totally defenseless? You see, there's a reason some people suspect that there's more than just stupidity and ignorance at work here. But Obama, you know, his concern is that, hey, it's unfair to blame all Muslims for the act of a few, whose actions, he insists, are not in any way connected to his religion, Islam. So we don't hear Obama come out with any expressions of outrage or displays of anger toward this radicalized, jihad-headed Muslim shooter. But when Trump comes out and says, you know, number one, the killer's parents are immigrants from Afghanistan, and number two, quotes from the Washington Times report saying that children of Muslim immigrant parents, for whatever reason, are the ones responsible for a growing number of terrorist attacks. And by the way, Washington Times reporter Stephen Dinnan calls the attack a, quote, jihad-inspired rampage, end quote. Well, at least he understands. Trump goes on, number three, to inform us the killer's father supported the Taliban. And he points out that means he supported a regime that violently oppresses women and gays. Well, now that's what gets Obama mad. You see, that's what finally reaches beneath that skin, that really, I think, kind of fake demeanor of coolness. You know, that's what crosses a line for him. Now his outrage bubbles up and manifests. Now he cannot maintain that cool composure for which he is so famous. Now he comes out swinging. Now he comes out angry. Now he's going to set the record straight. An Islamo-fascist terrorist attack on Americans, killing 49 and wounding 53. And Obama gets angry at Trump for pointing out the truth about the shooter. He's not angry at the Islamo-fascist killer that murdered 49 people and wounded 53 more. For him, such tragedies are sad. They are a sad reflection of what happens when we let American citizens buy guns. You see, this is what we get when we refuse to violate the Constitution and infringe on Americans' right to bear arms. But let Trump point out that it had nothing at all to do with the need for more gun laws, although I remind you, Trump supported a ban on so-called assault weapons, and he is only a recent election time convert on this matter. But that aside for the moment, Trump points out the problem is not allowing Americans to own guns, but rather a failure on the part of the government to do its job and protect our borders and to control immigration and to say, you know, if you're a Muslim and you support the Taliban, well, you're not welcome to come into our country. That makes sense. Well, then the liberals howl because controlling immigration, that's what liberals consider to be a violation of our Constitution, huh? And a violation of the American way. What? Do you see what's happening here? It's upside down. And I must give it to Trump. He is the one who has it right on this issue, at least for the present. Maybe later he'll say it was only a suggestion, you know, but for once I agree with Obama, at least on one point. Something like this happens and we immediately guess it'll be a guy with an Arab name, right? That's what I did. And we immediately presume, watch, it's some radicalized Muslim, and immediately we assume it was an act of terrorism, not workplace violence. And consistently, in a very short time, all of our assumptions are proved true. Repeatedly. You know, everybody has a Muslim friend, right? So we all know that not all Muslims are radical America and Israel-hating, Jew and Christian-hating bigots, right? It is sad when an entire group is judged by the actions of a few. When two or three or four or even five idiots act in the name of a certain group, and then some people make it into a stereotype of the entire category or the entire group. You know, like how a few idiots who abuse guns are used to create a fake stereotype condemning virtually all gun owners. We're told all the time, you know, don't judge all Muslims by the actions of a few. And I totally get that. It's really sad when people take the actions of a few idiots and use that to create a stereotype of all gun owners. Or when a few who call themselves Christians say stupid things or do stupid things like Westboro Baptist. You know, the morons who picket funerals of our soldiers to make some sort of point. I grieve to think of what that heretic will do with the Orlando massacre. I mean, it is sad when people use people like that to paint all Christians as bigoted, hate-filled. And I'm overusing the word idiot here, but, you know, we like to use it to speak of someone who behaves without thought of others. You know, foolishly. And it's from the Greek word idiotis, someone who thinks only of their own good and not that of others. But actually, it's not the best word here. It originally spoke of someone who is uneducated. But some of the worst idiots, idiotis today, come from our most renowned colleges and universities. Besides, today, it has legal implications. I mean, it identifies someone as mentally incompetent to take responsibility for their actions. So really, that won't do. What is the word I want here? Moron? No, that won't do either, since it has the same connotation, someone who is mentally disabled. For such persons, we have pity. What do you say of someone who pickets funerals of our soldiers to protest war, and pickets funerals of the Orlando shooting victims to protest homosexuality? Unbelievable. A good Jewish word would be vil, translated foolish, or sakal, which translated sottish, you know, someone who's dull-witted. Used in Jeremiah to speak of those of God's children who are wise to do evil but are clueless when it comes to doing good. Anyway, I agree that it is wrong to judge everyone in a group by the actions of a few in that group. Christians are judged by worldlings based on a stereotype created, invented by the children of disobedience, based on the behavior of a few. My wife calls them idots. You know, I, period. All about me. Yep, that's an idiot, all right. We are not supposed to become suspicious of all Muslims because of the actions of a few, but we are supposed to be suspicious of all gun owners based on the actions of a few. We are not supposed to blame the Muslim religion for the actions of a few who reputedly abuse that religion, but we are to blame all guns for the actions of a few who abuse guns. You know, Trump is right. We've had enough. I'll elaborate on that when I get back.
Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Love him or hate him, the brain masseur is going to make you think.
Church is not the place to be trolling for chicks, and it's not a talent show for rockers. So if you want a rock concert, call Ticketmasters. But if you're looking for a church that takes the lordship of Jesus seriously, and you can endure sound doctrine proclaimed straight from the Bible with the preaching that tells it like it is, without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families safely navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information.
The Brain Massage Show releases truth antibodies in the brain that attack and destroy liberal lies. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Zeidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. I said that I finally agree with Obama on at least one point. Judging an entire group for the actions of a few who act in the name of that group is unfair. and more importantly, unjust. We all wish he was just not such a hypocrite. Because, you know, encouraging people to be suspicious of all gun owners because of the actions of a few who abuse that right to bear arms is, after all, the same thing. Undermining all Americans' constitutional right to bear arms because of a few who abuse that right constitutes the same thing. I think it is wrong to blame the religion of Islam for every act of terrorism, just as it is wrong to blame the gun for every act of shooting violence. Now, listen, obviously, it is what one does with the gun or with the religion of Islam that makes the difference. You see, however, there is a difference. Guns don't teach people to hate. Islam does. Guns do not promote prejudice against any class of people. Islam encourages prejudice against Jews and against Christians, really all who are not Islam. They are infidels whose refusal to Islam, which means to submit to Allah, is an offense considered by them to be punishable by death. Now, if you say, well, not all Muslims interpret Muhammad and the Hadith in that way, I say you are right. That's what they've done with their religion. Each Muslim is responsible personally for what they do with their religion, like every gun owner is responsible for what he does with his guns. But the difference is that a gun owner does not have to come up with an alternative explanation for what his gun is telling him to do. Because, you see, there is no doctrine taught by guns. The doctrine is found in the heart of the owner of the gun, not in any book written by a gun. You know, with Islam, it is different. Islam is a religion that teaches certain doctrines, and among them, it teaches hatred for the Jew and for all Christians who believe in the Trinity, or in the idea of Jesus being the Son of God, or the idea that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and arose from the dead the third day. These things are blasphemy to the Muslim, and Muhammad taught that such people are infidels who, under certain conditions, are to be given three choices. They can convert to Islam, surrender to be ruled by Islamic law, or be killed. Now, a Muslim might decide this is not right, and they might reject this teaching, and they might find alternative interpretations for those passages of the Quran that are used to support these teachings. They are there, and I've read them. And while I believe in religious freedom and the right of every man to believe according to his own conscience, I can live in peace with my Muslim neighbors, even if I believe their religion is false. However, if any Muslim neighbor believes that he has the right to subject me to Sharia and believes it is his duty to kill the infidel or punish the evildoer according to Sharia law, disregarding our laws, well, you see, my friend, that goes past my ability to, quote, be at peace with all men, end quote. For such men are at war against our peace. You see, the peace we offer to them is based on the understanding that all men are created equal, including Muslims, and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. The most fundamental of these rights are defended by our Bill of Rights, or the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. Please see my series titled The Bible and the Bill of Rights on our website, or call in, and for a gift of $15 to the radio show, I'll send you audio CDs along with the text of the messages. The Bible says, quote, if it be possible, do you catch that? It's a conditional thing. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men, end quote, Romans 12:18. So does the Bible envision a possibility that something could go beyond the possibility to live at peace with other men? You see, here's as much as lieth in us. We offer, as terms of peace to our Muslim neighbors, a willingness to acknowledge their right to believe whatever they choose to believe, and their right to preach their message in our streets and in our neighborhoods, the right to freely assemble without fear of molestation from anyone, the right to propagate their faith within our borders. However, that is as far as it goes. You see, we insist that we also have these rights, and if they expect us to respect these rights for them, they must respect these rights for us also. When they say they have a right to preach Islam to us, but we do not have the right to preach Christ to them, well then, you see, that goes beyond what lieth in us. What we offer as terms of peace to our Muslim neighbors is that every human being has a right to self-defense, which obviates, therefore, a right to bear arms for that purpose. So that if some Christian crusader comes against them with a gun or with exploding vests or bombs or whatever, we grant to our Muslim neighbors the right to use their arms to defend themselves, even if it means shooting their attackers. However, we reserve to ourselves this right also. And in obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ, we have the right, the divine right, to take up our sword for self-defense, to own and bear arms, so that if anyone, including a jihad-headed Muslim, threatens us with a gun, explosive, or a knife, or whatever, we have the right to shoot and kill that individual. And that will happen if such come to my home. Those are our terms of peace. We recognize your right to defend your life and property, and we have likewise the right to defend our lives and properties. Our terms of peace with our Islamic neighbors include all the other inalienable rights that also include all that are stipulated in our Constitution. We're willing to extend the laws of our land to them. However, some of the laws of our land are limited to American citizens. They're not generally inalienable rights. They're limited rights afforded to our citizens. And, for example, such as the right to vote in our elections. Are you listening, Obama? The rest of you progressive liberals, illegals don't have a right to vote. But for American Muslims or American homosexuals, we offer these terms of peace. However, what we are seeing from certain groups within both the Muslim community and the homosexual community are people who believe they have rights that privilege them to violate our rights. And that goes past what we can tolerate. It goes past what lieth in us. There is a line. That line is the Constitution. When government, other religions, or special interest groups, like the LGBT community, start crossing that line, then they violate the terms of peace. Their terms of peace are very different from ours. Have you noticed that? You see, to be at peace with radical Islam, like I said earlier, you have three choices. You can convert to Islam, submit to be ruled by Sharia, pay a jizya tax, or die. And to be at peace with the radical LGBT community, you must surrender your right to believe as you choose, or to at least express those beliefs. You must surrender a measure of your rights to free speech. You must submit to their demands, their demands to intrude upon your personal life, such as this restroom debacle, and so forth. You must accept being forced to participate in their shameful practices of homosexual marriages and so on, and forced to acknowledge their lifestyle as legitimate, even if doing so violates your conscience or your conviction. Or in other words, like the radical Muslims, the radical LGBT crowd demands that you surrender your inalienable divinely given rights to their special rights. You must Islam to them. You must submit to them. I've explained this before. Inalienable rights are never incompatible with one another. Whenever one right competes with another right, then one of them is not a right. For example, a right to free speech does not contradict the right to believe what you choose to believe. In fact, they complement one another. All inalienable rights complement one another, so long as they are understood within a common ethos. Now, here's the kicker. What is an ethos? Basically, it's shared values of a culture or a community, of the aspirations and beliefs of a culture or that characterize a culture. The concept of rights arise within a certain ethos. The ethos of radical Islam. By the way, we say radical as a polite way of differentiating between traditional Islam and so-called modern moderate Islam. And I'll accept that as existing, that is moderate Islam, but it seems to be more of something that exists in theory than in practice. But anyway, the ethos of traditional Islam is one where free speech, freedom of religion, and so on are not going to be accepted universal human rights, because the ethos doesn't support it. Likewise, the ethos of the homosexual community. It's not one that supports our constitutional rights of freedom of religion and speech and free association and so forth. In fact, the whole progressive movement's ethos does not support our Second Amendment rights or many of our Bill of Rights. It certainly doesn't support the right of life to a baby. And you begin to see what I mean. Rights must be understood within a certain defined ethos. The rights we have enjoyed under the Constitution will not be supported in any ethos except that of the Christian faith, Christian values. My friends, that is what our founders understood, and it's what Reagan was saying when he said, if we ever cease to be one nation under God, we will be a nation that has gone under. Now, this is the reason that radical Islam is not compatible with our constitutional government, and why no one should be allowed to immigrate into this country who does not swear allegiance to our flag and to our Constitution, and why we must hold our rulers accountable to uphold the Constitution they swore to uphold. You know, I understand that lately here in California, and by that I mean Moonbeam Brown and his lunatics, has decided that the terms of peace with California include we must submit to the global warming myth or be punished, and our rights as citizens curtailed. We have immigrants pouring into this country legally and illegally. that do not view our rights the way we do because they come from an opposing ethos. We have special interest groups within our country who are centered on an antagonistic ethos to the traditional American one. And for that reason, they don't have the same regard or the same understanding of what rights mean. We have government officials of the progressive persuasion who do not share our traditional Christian ethos. And so they don't see our rights the same way we have traditionally understood them. All of these groups are operating within a system of rights that have arisen within a certain ethos, a Christian ethos, giving them liberty to develop all this stuff that they've been doing. And yet, this can only go so far. You see, it's only as much as lieth in us. We have yielded to them great latitude and adjusted ourselves to accommodate them, but now they're beginning to cross the line. Actually, my friend, they crossed the line. It's getting past what lieth in us. They have used the terms of peace that we afforded to them, and now they are abusing the terms of peace against us. And I fear this is headed for an open conflict. God help us. But I must conclude. We've let this happen because we have been trying our best to be at peace with all men, but it's starting to get past what lieth in us. Meanwhile, they have been changing the ethos of this country, haven't they? Changing it from a Christian ethos to one that is more compatible with communism or socialism or paganism, that is antithetical to Christianity and hostile toward it. One simple observation to make the point. If you've ever seen a genuine representation of a Bible-believing Protestant or a Baptist Christian or of their views on subjects like abortion, creation, or homosexuality, or any number of other issues, please let me know where you saw it. I mean from Hollywood. Maybe one of 1,000 times, but you never see a genuine Christian in any sitcom as a regular appearing character that represents us fairly and honestly. I remember when the blacks would complain about how they were so underrepresented on TV and so on. Perhaps we should complain about the fact that you never see a sympathetic representation of the Christian home on TV. In fact, it's more like this. If you see a family praying before a meal on TV, you can know that they're going to be the murderer, or the rapist, or the pervert, or the ne'er-do-well in the show. Unless they're Catholic alcoholics. and where every other scene they're having a drink, and every encounter when they meet is, what do you want to drink, and have some booze, and want a beer, and like Blue, whatever it is, I forget the name of it. By the way, I should say, I like that show, and I appreciate the acting ability of Tom Selleck, and I appreciate his reputation for being conservative. And you know what? You will from time to time find a sympathetic representation of the Catholic religion in media, but you try finding a fundamentalist Christian represented on TV or in movies as anything other than an outrageous, raving lunatic, because you never see that. But we are out here. And in very large numbers, by the way, and we had better make our voice heard and stand up to these children of disobedience and refuse to allow them to stereotype us. And how can we do that? Well, I'm going to preach a couple of messages on this soon, but we need to get into the offices of our rulers and talk with them sensibly about our concerns and put a sane face on who we are and what we represent. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." And 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So we need to be out there. We need to be talking to them. We need to engage them. Listen, there is nothing more powerful to unite people than the gospel of Jesus Christ. The truth that Jesus is Lord of all, and that our Lord died for all and calls all men everywhere to repent and believe on him to be saved from the wrath to come, is a great unifying message. Anyway, I need to conclude. Now, I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you call and let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That number again is 1-888-770-8000. And leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. It's a free call to anyone within the continental United States, from outside the country, or for those who prefer it. You can email me by going to our website, thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. Please call or write. Let me know what you think about the show today. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Tune in Saturday at 12 noon